Hi, and welcome to the Paper Matters Podcast, hosted by Ashley Madak, the creative and brand manager for Domtar Paper. The Paper Matters Podcast is a paper-focused listening experience that will celebrate and inspire the evolving world of the paper, printing, and business industries. In each episode, we'll share the variety of essential roles that Domtar Paper and Print Support play for a number of businesses every day.
Hello and welcome to the Paper Matters Podcast. Today I'm joined by Rob Ianturno, VP of Operations at Kubra. Thanks for joining me today, Rob.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about Kubra and your role there?
Sure. Kubra's been around almost 30 years now. I've been at Kubra 21 years. It's funny way. I had friends of mine that started the company, and they were always trying to drag me into the business, but it was always relatively small, and I never took them on the offers. And then one day, you know, I think we were having a barbecue dinner or lunch, and we were having a discussion. They finally gave me an opportunity to come over, and I said, "You know what? Let's try it. If I'm not going to try it now, I'm never going to try it." So I kind of started the company at the ground level in operations and just slowly worked my way up and grew with the company as the company continued to grow. And here we are, you know, 21 years later, I'm the VP of operations for Kubra.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about what Kubra does?
Sure. So we're big in the electronic and printing space, and we focus primarily on utility billing.
Great. And so, yeah, you guys do print and electronic billing. That's correct, right? Yeah.
So we're on the electronic side. So basically we build people's websites or their payment solutions that they have where people go and pay online. And we also print those bills on behalf of the clients as well. Another part of our business is we have an outage map system. So a storm center, they call it. So you can go online if there's a storm or there's a bad weather coming and you can see where the outages are from a utility perspective.
Oh, wow.
So outage maps.
Okay. Okay. So what makes Kubra different from other companies?
I think what makes Kubra different is their ability to help clients get to their end point of what they're trying to achieve as far as, you know, a bill redesign, designing the bill, tying it directly in with your electronic payments as well. And now, obviously, with having color, I think we give clients the opportunity to change up their color bill, add onserts versus inserts, and dynamically change, at any time without going through the pain of sending proofs and going through preprint and to get a prepress and things like that.
Oh, that's interesting. So customers, when they come to you, do they come to you expecting to get that advice on how to make billing more effective or more impactful for their customers than it sounds like?
Well, definitely. I think it's part of our sales pitch to them. So we try to make it as easy and painless for them as possible.
Fantastic. So why do you think paper bills are still important?
Well, a lot of people ask me this question. I think we service both the Canadian and the U.S. market. And I think in the Canadian market, obviously we still print bills and utility bills are still very important and they continue to get sent to homes. But I think the Canadian market is an easier ship to move. It's less people. And I think they've adapted to e-billing a little easier. So we've definitely seen our volumes drop a little bit on the Canadian side. But on the American side, bigger ship to move. I think it's still very important for a lot of people that they get their paper bill versus paying the online payment or going online to pay your bill. And, I mean, we also have considerable older population where people still want their bill. Personally, myself, I don't consider myself the older population in my 50s, but I like to get that paper bill and then, I'll get my bill, go online, pay it, and then mark it off as paid. But I like to have that, to definitely have that piece of paper to go through first.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm the same way. I'm in my early 40s and, you know, I still depend on those paper bills to keep me up to date on when the due date is and things like that, but I like to pay them online. So I'm right there with you.
And however, my kids, they have no idea how to mail a letter and they have asked me
stamps,
buy a stamp.
That's funny. So how do you maximize customer engagement and billing design? What advice or what suggestions do you give to some of the people that come to you?
Sure. Well, when a client comes on board, I mean, we have a team of people that they'll go to. Primarily, we'll ask them what, you know, what they're thinking of. We'll show them various layouts that we have. So we definitely have a sample book. We'll show them copies of other statements that we've done, of course, with no data on them, just the colors and whatnot and samples. And we'll do some samples of our own as far as the way the bill design looks. We'll add inserts and onserts to it to show them what onserts would look like as well. So we give them different variations, different flavors. Usually they show us what colors that, you know, obviously their primary colors or their business colors that they want to use. And then we work with them there and try to design the bill with their colors in mind, where they want graph placements, where they want to put information on the bill, if they want to put information blocks where they can always change up, put vital information. Like, for example, before you dig, as far as a gas utility, storm season's coming, what to do to prepare for, things like that.
Okay. So what sort of feedback after you guys go through the process of updating the look of these bills and then they go out to customers, do your customers ever give you any sort of feedback of what their customers have said about it?
Yeah, definitely. We always engage our customers and we appreciate them giving us feedback on how their customers feel and, you know, look and feel. And sometimes, you know, they've come back with some negative remarks and say, hey, you know what, we went through our customer base and they didn't like this. And we'll go in and work with them and say, well, how do we want to change it? Being that you're doing it full color, we can change it anytime. And we also give the ability to the client to make changes to their bill. Obviously, it goes through a quick check process to make sure there's nobody, you know, verbiage is correct, language is correct, spelling is correct. But they can make changes prior to a run going live, probably hours before it goes live. They can make changes to their bill.
Yeah, and that's got to be a huge advantage as far as inkjet printing goes, because you're no longer, I'm assuming before you were probably printed on, you know, pre-printed shells.
Yeah, it was pre-printed shells and people were stuck to their letterhead. And, we'd always say, well, we're buying 3 months worth. That's how we keep your price down. And so we've got to eat through that 3 months prior to making a change.
Mm-hmm.
So doing it on white paper and dynamically this way, it's always more flexible to the client. And I think people are a lot happier and there's more flexibility on our end.
Yeah. So in your experience, how do you think color impacts and influence billing payments?
I think, I've gone side by side and looked at a client that, you know, didn't have color and they were coming to us for color and we were looking at ideas and how we can, make their bill more direct and a better looking bill as far as using colors. So I think the colors and the placement of the colors and how you lay out the bill, people's eyes obviously go directly to certain spots and certain areas depending on the colors, as opposed to a monochrome bill that was kind of like blah and people really didn't really pay attention. They just went to their, you know, how much do I owe? And that's the end of it. Whereas we've got color graphs and the usages are, you know, maybe a different shade or a different color depending on the month and time frame. You might be able to put a line graph in there as well with the bar graphs, or you might do a pie chart and different colors in the pie chart. And I think having those colors, I think people's eyes go to them more often to say, hey, what is this? What am I looking at?
Yeah. So when you're first starting this process with a customer, what sort of considerations or advice do you give them when they're going from black and white to color?
Well, we definitely give them advice on what colors to use. Give them the idea of where to place messages and whatnot, because, you know, we've done the studies on how people's eyes get directed to certain areas and where message blocks should be and what the customer's looking at first. So we try to educate them on how the layout should be.
Great. So let's talk a little bit more about production inkjet. So how long ago did you guys switch from a toner-based device to production inkjet?
Well, our first color machine was in Mississauga, so our Toronto facility. I'm going to say 8 years ago. And again, we got into color for one of our largest clients who came to us and said, hey, you know what? We're done with monochrome. We want color. We want the option to be able to change things. We want to change our bill. We want to redesign. We want to do all this. So that got us into color. And we spent a lot of time and effort looking at what equipment we wanted to buy. So I would say it was probably almost a year and a half process. And we looked at everybody.
Mm.
And we chose Canon. We went with the Canon device. And then that was our device. And we said to Canon at that time, we said, whatever device we're choosing, this is going to be our device on a go forward for all our other sites as well, which it was. So we basically, 8 years ago, we went with our first device, and we've installed 3 in our New Jersey facility, 2 in our Texas, and 2 in our Texas facility. And we've got some other color devices in California as well.
Wow. Okay. So what do you think are the most valuable aspects of switching to inkjet? Or what, in your case, what do you think are the most valuable aspects?
The machines are definitely more reliable. There's more uptime. There's less going on in the device. I mean, with monochrome, there was always the way the toner was being laid down, the electrostatic, there's always heat involved. Whereas with inkjet, there's minimal heat involved. You're just dealing with inks. We were able to, obviously, load inks on the fly where you weren't able to do that with monochrome. So the machine's continually running. The reliability and the serviceability of the machine is much greater than the monochrome devices.
So when you go to these inkjet conferences and trade shows, they always talk about the learning curve with inkjet. Was there a steep learning curve in your case?
No, people actually talked to me about the learning curve when we were going roll fed for the first time as well.
Okay.
I was scared to death from going from cut sheet devices to roll fed devices, going, oh my God, this, you know, some people are talking about this, like it's going to be a nightmare for us. And, you know, we just kind of learned as we went, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as painful as I thought. And I think color wasn't as painful either. I mean, some of the learning curves that we had were more in the design side, where we couldn't, whatever they were designing on a screen in an RGB did not look the same in inkjet and CMYK. And it was getting the designers and our developers used to using the CMYK and the color tint books we had to make sure they could match as close as possible to what the client was looking for.
Okay. So as far as the workflow processes, what changed there?
As far as workflow, I don't think on our end for workflow, I think we were fine. A lot of our processes and our workflows were built into our own systems, or they're proprietary. So basically, they just kind of fell into our systems. So basically, working with the Canon, I mean, whatever we would input into it as far as workflow, work with the system, and we can take AFP, we can take PCL, we can take all the workflows that we had. And clients send us various workflows, and we work with them.
Right. Great. So another hot topic in the realm of inkjet that we often hear about is paper compatibility. A lot of printers say that is an area that really caused them a lot of trouble, was figuring out the paper situation with production inkjet. What role does paper compatibility play in the inkjet success?
Huge. I mean, and we spent a lot of time looking at different papers before we went to one. And we didn't want to give our clients a variety of paper stocks to choose from. So we went down the road saying, hey, we're going to go with one paper stock. And we do have one or two now. But we said we want to go with a paper stock that the inks are going to look vibrant on, the colors are going to turn out properly on. It's made for our equipment. It runs through our equipment well. And we don't want to give clients a variety of stocks, because the whole idea of going to color inkjet was that we didn't have all these different inventory that we had to go through. We just wanted, hey, roll up the paper to the machine and, you know, start printing. Which has worked out well for us. We do not give them a big option. We have 2 stocks that we use. It's either a Domtar 24-pound or a Domtar.
How did you end up narrowing down the selection of what papers you were going to use?
Well, we had initially when we went with Canon, they gave us a list of papers that they knew were engineered for their equipment. And we tried the different stocks. And once we started looking at the quality of the print and quality of the output and price point, we came and said, hey, you know what? This paper works great for us. The Domtar stock works fantastic. Clients like it. The colors we're looking for match. It's a good stock. Doesn't curl at the end. It once it's run through the machine, because we do a lot of cut sheet, we do roll to roll and roll to cut as well. More concerned on the cut sheet side. And I mean, once the paper was printed, laid flat, good quality, and it would run through our inserters properly.
So for your clients, how important is color consistency and reproduction in their billing statements?
Very important. And that's something else. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something else as far as color and inkjet color goes. Our biggest concern was that, hey, you know, as we got different machines and went, not different machines in the same company, but as we got a new device, say the device was upgraded and we went from a 3900 to a 6900 and to a Z model, would we get different looks to a bill? So if we took an account, we split it amongst, you know, two or three printers, would the output look the same or would it look different? We found that the output is very much the same and the quality is consistent quality with these machines. We definitely look as far as if there's issues with heads or a head going out, a jet out, they call them. They're few and far between, but overall we see consistent colors on all our devices.
Wow. So has the whole process from, you know, the beginning of the billing statement when it's designed to the end where it's, you know, it's already printed and it's inserted into a envelope, has that process speeded up?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. The color devices are obviously a lot faster, more accurate, there's less downtime, less issues, less jams, less problems. So on the print side, we can get material to our inserters a lot faster.
So one of the things that Inkjet is known for is the ability to personalize. So has this created a shift for your customers in terms of wanting to add more personalization to their billing?
We haven't seen a lot. Well, let me back up. So we have seen a lot of our clients ask for inserts. Where they can basically put an advertisement depending on the zip code or the postal code in Canada, and they're highlighting a certain client or a certain area of people where they want to send this message. So yeah, they do it that way. But we're trying to get down the road closer to more personalization of a bill, and I think we're getting closer to that in the next 2 to 3 years, probably. But right now they're utilizing it a little bit, not as much as we'd like to, but they are starting to personalize a little more as far as just trying to get the right audience or the right zip code and getting the right advertisement to that area.
Okay. So how does paper billing enhance the customer experience, in your opinion?
Well, I think we talked about that at the very beginning. Go online, they see their bill, but I think having the bill or having it in front of them, having a color bill with messaging and advertisements on it, I think it enhances the overall experience.
All right, Rob. Well, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
To learn more about Kubra and read our Paper Matters magazine interview with Rob, visit paper.domtar.com to download the latest edition.
Paper is the perfect vehicle for telling stories that support, inspire, and propel powerful ideas. It's tactile, it's memorable, it's lasting. That's why we've created Paper Matters magazine to celebrate and inspire the evolving world of the paper and printing industries. Request your complimentary subscription at paper.domtar.com.